show about Tottenham Court. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from London, England, Europe. Today is Thursday, the 16th of July. On this date in 622 was the Hijra, the immigration of Muhammad from Mecca to Medina, and the beginning of the Islamic calendar. In 1054, the Roman legates break relations between Western and Eastern Christian churches through the act of placing an invalidly issued papal bull of excommunication on the altar of Hagia Sophia during Saturday afternoon divine liturgy. In other words, the start of the East-West Schism. 1348, King Pancho XIV of Finland leads his troops to victory against the Ruthenians at the Battle of Quankatopolis, fought in modern-day Andorra. 1661, the first banknotes in Europe are issued by the Bank of Stockholm. 1769, the first Catholic mission in California dedicated in San Diego. 1790, the U.S. Congress declares Washington, D.C. the new capital. 1909, Muhammad Ali Shah Qajar. In 1909, is forced out as Shah of Persia and is replaced by his son. His son Ahmad Shah Qajar, amidst the fascinating and worthy of study Persian constitutional revolution. 1918, the Romanov family is executed. 1931, Emperor Haile Selassie signs the first constitution of Ethiopia. 1935, the world's first parking meter is installed in Oklahoma City. 1945, the first atom bomb is tested. 1948, the city of Nazareth, hometown of Jesus Christ, capitulates to Israeli troops. 1951, Catcher in the Rye is published. 1965, the Mont Blanc Tunnel linking France and Italy opens. 1969, Apollo 11 departs Earth before it lands on the moon. 1973, former White House aide Alexander Butterfield informs the United States Senate that President Richard Nixon had secretly recorded potentially incriminating conversations. 1979, Iraqi President Ahmed Hassan al-Bakr resigns and is replaced by Saddam Hussein. 1990, the Parliament of the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic declares state sovereignty over the territory of the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. is killed in a plane crash. Birthdays are painter Joshua Reynolds, civil rights leader Ida B. Wells, baseball player Shoeless Joe Jackson, actress Barbara Stanwyck, corn popper Orville Redenbacher, singer Desmond Decker, funny guy Will Ferrell, and soccer hero Carly Lloyd. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian journal and Fides Politra column this week is about the Iran deal, which is gigantic, by the way. Sanctions will end in about 6 months. Georgia, please get ready. Thanks again for those posting on our forum, particularly the famous London cook, Anna Tpileli. If you'd like to comment, form, ask a question, go to tpilpod.com or send us an email at tpilpod@gmail.com. By the way, if you have a question about Georgian politics, you really can send them to us and we'll answer it. On the 10th of July, Russian forces in South Ossetia set up border signs on territory adjacent to the village of Tsiteliubani in Gori municipality and the village of Orchosani in South Ossetia, moving the border up 1 kilometer further into Georgian territory. It's now in close vicinity to the Tbilisi-Gori Central Highway, at one point under 500 meters from the highway. With the new border markers, a 1,605-meter portion of the Baku-Supsa pipeline falls under Russian control. The 830-kilometer BP-operated Baku-Supsa pipeline, also known as the Western Route Export Pipeline, which is not the Baku-Jehan line, by the way, runs from Azerbaijan to Georgia's Black Sea terminal of Supsa and has the capacity of transporting up to 100,000 barrels of oil a day. The new border lines also leaves Georgian agricultural land on the other side of the border, and local farmers say they will not be able to access their crops. The Interior Ministry released a special statement saying it was deeply concerned by Russia's actions and that it was a deliberate provocation aimed at destabilizing the situation. Prime Minister's Special Representative for Relations with Russia, Zura Abashidze, said that he would raise the issue in Prague this week in his meeting with the Russian Deputy Foreign Minister, even though the meetings address economic relations. Foreign ministers of Ukraine, Lithuania, as well as U.S. State Department, released statements in support of Georgia's territorial integrity and condemning Russia. President Georgi Margvelashvili met with the head of the EU monitoring mission in Georgia, as well as with representatives from BP Georgia and the state-owned Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation. His message was that Georgia's function as a transit country will not be lessened, regardless of Russia's activities. Energy Minister Kakhi Kaladze said that Georgia has an alternative plan of bypassing that area of the Baku-Supsa pipeline now under Russian control, and that it will be put into action immediately if the pipeline faces any problems. Don't know how that would work. Deputy Foreign Minister David Dondua had a rare phone conversation with his Russian counterpart, Grigory Karasin, on the 13th of July. Karasin told him that Tbilisi's complaints about the South Ossetian border markings are misdirected and that Georgia should take the issue up directly with Shkinvali. Dondo and Karasin are the chief negotiators for their sides in the Geneva talks. This is the first direct communication between such high-ranking officials outside of the framework of talks since 2008. The Russian Foreign Ministry said that Tbilisi knows very well that there has not been any kind of border shifting, which is, of course, not true, which is exactly what they say, you know, sort of like the Russian troops not being in Ukraine. They said it is high time for the Georgian side to determine, does it intend to follow the positive logic of improving relations with Russia, or will it continue resorting to provocative fictions which set back the process of normalization of bilateral relations? That's a quote, an incredibly frustrating one. Commenting on the 14th of July, Prime Minister Karabashvili said that there was no need for excessive stir and panic over the border-making banners, that the government knows what to do, the government knew that it was what it was doing, and we follow our path in a consistent and purposeful manner. He said the Georgian ties to counter Russia's provocation through using all available international levers continues. The EU only commented on the 15th of July. EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini said that the installation of the new signpost led to tension in the area and that the EU and EUMM are closely following the situation. And on top of it all, on the 16th of July, Russia launched military exercises in Ingushetia, Chechnya, Dagestan, and North Ossetia, and South Ossetia. On the 16th of July, there was another border incident. A group of seven armed persons, among whom were Russian soldiers and Ossetian Spetsnaz units, removed a Georgian flag on the South Ossetian border. The flag was put there by a group of journalists and activists who had gone to the border site to protest. Considering the latest developments in the area, a special meeting of the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism is planned for the 20th of July in Ergneti. On the issue of the pipeline, on the 13th of July, spokesperson BP ensured that the Western Route Export Pipeline, i.e. WERP, continues to operate as normal. 31 million barrels of oil were transported in 2014, 16 million barrels in the first half of 2015, according to BP Georgia. Even before the recent border marking activities, it was developing plans to upgrade REP by replacing the remaining Soviet-era pipes and rerouting some of its sections as part of routine maintenance works. They said that the proposed work will take the pipeline out of the territory of Akhalgori District, which is under South Ossetian control since the August 2008 war. On the 15th of July, there's another meeting between Prime Minister's Special Representative for Relations with Russia, Zura Abashidze, and Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin in Prague. It was an enlarged format that included representatives from Georgia's Ministry of Economy and Russia's Ministry of Transport. On that note, on the 14th of July, 17 NGOs, including GRAS, OSGF, TI Georgia, and ISFED, released a joint statement calling on the government to fundamentally revise its strategy of relations with Russia, to postpone the next round of the Abashidze-Karasin talks, and to ensure more involvement of the international community in Russian-Georgian relations. They said the installation of border signs 1 kilometer into Georgian territory is a logical extension of Russia's recent policy of annexation and represents an extremely alarming signal for the security of the state. They warn now that the strategic infrastructure, the Baku-Supsa pipeline, has been threatened. Future targets will be the transmission line Kartli 2 or the Central Highway. After the Prague meeting, Abashidze announced Tbilisi's hopes to launch a joint committee with Russia and Swiss mediators in August to supervise the implementation of the WTO deal between the two countries on customs monitoring. He said they had reached a serious agreement during the meeting. and they will likely sign separate contracts with the company that will do the monitoring at the August meeting in Switzerland. As a reminder, Georgia agreed to allow Georgia's WTO membership only after Tbilisi and Moscow signed a Swiss-mediated agreement in November 2011, envisaging hiring a neutral private company to carry out the monitoring of cargo movement through three trade corridors, two of which run in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and the third one on the Zemo-Larsi-Kazbegi border crossing. SGS, the world's largest inspection, verification, testing, and certification company headquartered in Geneva, was selected. Be nice if they were to publish all of the stuff going in and out of there on the internet so everybody could see exactly what it was. There's no reason that couldn't be the case. All of these negotiations were finished under the previous government, and then this government just sort of sat there for a while. The Venice Commission, the OSCE, and the Consultative Council of European Prosecutors have criticized the bill proposed by the Ministry of Justice to reform the Prosecutor General's office as ineffective. According to the Constitution, the Prosecutor General's office is part of the Justice Ministry system. According to the current law, it is the Prime Minister who appoints or dismisses the Chief Prosecutor, obviously raising questions about the political influence in the Prosecutor's office, which is clearly the case. The essence of the reform is that the Justice Minister will manage the Prosecutor General's office through the Prosecutor's Council. What the three European organizations are saying is that the reform still does not depoliticize the prosecutor's office far enough. Presumably, it's subject to please the justice minister. In response, Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani said that the role of the justice minister will be reduced after the reform, but didn't specify how that would change. This is very important, by the way, because the prosecutor's office has remained one of the main political attack mechanisms of the leadership of the country, as it was under Shevardnadze, as well as under Misha. It will say a great deal about the government whether they will allow an independent prosecutor's office. And so far, with this draft, the answer is no. On the 10th of July, Defense Minister Tini Kohidashvili signed an agreement with European missile manufacturer MBDA to buy a state-of-the-art defense system in Paris. MBDA is a consortium that includes Italy's Finmeccanica S.p.A., Airbus Group, and Britain's BAE Systems PLC. The deal comes less than a month after Georgia signed a separate deal with Thales Raytheon Systems, a producer of ground-based surveillance radars, and air defense command and control systems. Officials have not revealed the content or value of their contracts. Defense Minister Kohidashvili said after these two deals will guarantee Georgia's air defense, she said she must first report to President Mark Velashvili, who is commander-in-chief, and to the Group of Confidence, a team of five lawmakers in charge of parliamentary oversight of classified defense spending, before parts of the deal can be made public. On the 14th of July, President Mark Velashvili met with Kohidashvili and top army brass to discuss the two contracts. European Council President Donald Tusk was expected to visit Georgia and Armenia this week, in Georgia on the 14th to the 15th of July, and Armenia on the 16th. However, on the 13th of July, the visit was postponed because of the Greek debt crisis. Tusk spoke with President Mark Velashvili by telephone. The president's office said that Tusk expressed regret over the planned visit and expressed readiness to visit Georgia in the near future. Agriculture Minister Otar Danelia is in China this week. He met his Chinese counterparts Han Chengfu in Beijing to organize agricultural deals between the two countries 2 months after the latter visited Tbilisi. Danelia is attending an opening of a Georgian wine promotion center in Beijing. As a reminder, China was the fifth largest export market for Georgian wine in the first half of 2015 after Russia, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and Poland, according to the National Wine Agency of Georgia. Nino Bourgianadze, the leader of the Democratic Movement United Georgia Party and a former Speaker of Parliament, was in Moscow speaking with her bosses. On the 10th of July, she met with Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin, as well as Russia State Duma Speaker Sergei Naryshkin, to discuss prospects of Georgian-Russian dialogue, because she said the Georgian authorities are not taking enough steps that would develop direct dialogue between Georgia and Russia. She said that Russian politicians have shown readiness for dialogue with Georgia, unlike their counterparts in Tbilisi. In Moscow, Bourgianadze also uproariously attended a roundtable on, and I quote, international legal problems of the 21st century, end quote, by invitation of the State Duma. As a note, the State Duma Speaker Naryshkin is on a sanctions blacklist over the crisis in Ukraine. During her Moscow visit, Burjanadze told Russian media that for Georgia, NATO integration is neither realistic nor in Georgia's interest, that Georgia should be a Western democratic country, but it doesn't necessarily require entering into any international organization, and that her opinion, the government's main goal of NATO or EU membership, is fundamentally wrong. She also talked about Ukraine and Crimea, saying that Crimea is a part of Russia and will never come back to Ukraine. As a reminder, in the presidential elections in 2013, Burjanadze got a bit over 10% of the votes. Five large oil companies operating in Georgia: Sokar, which is Azeri; Sun, which is Russian; Rompetrol, which is Kazakh; Vysoil, which is Georgian-owned; and Lukoil, which is Russian, were fined 51.6 million lari collectively for violating the law on competition for alleged price fixing. An investigation by the competition agency, which sits under the prime minister, revealed that between 2008 and 2014, the companies were violating competition rules and regulations in the retail petrol and diesel market through artificial import barriers and cartel-type price-fixing schemes. The fine can be appealed in court. The competition agency said that the financial penalties were imposed based on a 1,000-page report they compiled examining the retail fuel market since November 2014. The report is not yet available, but has to be released by the agency within 10 days. The agency also said that some parts of the report will not be made public because issues related to the company's commercial confidentiality are involved. Thanks to TI Georgia, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, for starting the conversation about competitive practices of retail fuel sales. Following up on previous week's stories about Georgia asking for the European Court of Human Rights to pay Russia 70 million euros in compensation for deporting Georgians in 2006, and the court's agreement that that should happen, on the 14th of July, the Russian Constitutional Court ruled that Russia is not obligated to fulfill verdicts of the European Court of Human Rights, quote, if they violate its fundamental constitutional rights, end quote. So let's see what'll happen. Head of the National Bank, Georgi Kadagidze, made yet another call for the government to cut budget expenses on the 15th of July. He reiterated that the adjustments in the 2015 budget do not respond to the challenges Georgia is facing, that they're expecting $1 billion less to flow into the country compared to last year, and the state's office or bureaucracy is too heavy for the economy. Georgia received 6 million euro from the EU to support the implementation of the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement of the free trade area of the association agreement. The money was the first tranche of the budget support component of a larger 45 million euro EU-funded program. Georgia should use the 6 million to implement trade policy reforms and adopt a small and medium-sized enterprise strategy. The money should also fund the continuing implementation of macroeconomic policies, public financial management, and budget transparency. Following up on the sale of UEFA Supermatch tickets for the Sevilla versus Barcelona game that will be on the 11th of August, ticket sales open at 9 a.m. on Sunday, the 12th of July, at the Mikhail Meteji Stadium at Vaque Park. Over 20,000 tickets were available. Thousands of people were lining up in Vaque Park since the day before. The fans created a list system in a notebook with their names and places in line for the next day. The rules were that only a group of 50 people would be able to pass through a corridor and buy tickets at one time. So there were people with these notebooks splitting up the crowd into groups of 50, each with its own leader. The crowd was huge. People were angry and shouting. The Georgian Football Federation announced later in the day that the list system was unfair against people coming from out of town to get tickets, but the crowd was angry and sticking to the list idea. On the morning of Sunday, hundreds of police protected the area from Vaque Park to the stadium. There was a chain of yellow buses forming a police cordon from the entrance of the park to the stadium, letting in groups of 50 at a time to buy tickets, with people trying to sneak or squeeze through. In the end, the whole process lasted 20 hours with everyone angry. Some people got tickets, many others went upset without tickets. Later, there was a photo circulating around Facebook posted by Nika Melia, who was the UNM candidate for Tbilisi mayor, showing that Tbilisi City Hall requested 300 tickets, bypassing waiting in line. People were angry after that. The Youth and Sports Committee chairman explained that the City Hall members requested the tickets for vulnerable children in their districts, and also that the tickets would be purchased not from the City Hall budget, but with the members' private funds. Minister of Defense Kiniko Khidasheli says compulsory military service might be abolished from next year, that Georgia has made different commitments to the international community, including the abolishment of compulsory military service by the end of 2016. Therefore, this issue might be discussed. Currently, there is compulsory military service for men aged 18 to 27 who don't have exemptions. No more information for now on whose commitments are with and what the deal was. Minister of Energy and First Prime Minister Kahi Kaladze was awarded the Order of Honor by President Margvelashvili for his efforts in the rescue operation after the 13th of June flood. Along with Kaladze, 10 employees of the Ministry of Internal Affairs were awarded the medals for military courage and one more with the Medal of Honor. Following up on last week's story about the girl, Kahiani, who said the police beat her up late at night at the Vitamins Club Lake, Vitamin Cubes Club at Turtle Lake on the 8th of July, the Ministry of Interior said that the General Inspection Unit, which is responsible for investigating crimes committed by police, did not find any evidence or witnesses confirming the girl's stories. Kahiani filed a complaint with the prosecutor's office requesting the launch of an investigation and insisted on releasing the entire video footage from the CCTV cameras that are installed at the scene where she said she was beaten. According to the chief of security at Turtle Lake, the police have already recovered the footage from the CCTV cameras. On the 9th of July, the chief prosecutor's office said that it had opened a criminal investigation on the appeal filed by Kahiani under the clause of the criminal code dealing with exceeding official powers by police officers. Following up on last week's story on a football feud between Georgian and Azerbaijani fans, on the 8th of July during a match in Gabala, which is in Azerbaijan, Azerbaijani fans held posters displaying a map with Marneuli as a part of Azerbaijan. As a reminder, after Georgia won a match in Tbilisi, the Georgian supporters trampled on the Azerbaijani flag. Others held a poster saying that the region of Azerbaijan really belongs to Georgia. On the 10th of July, representatives of the Tbilisi Zoo presented new plans for the zoo. It will move into a new facility that will be built by Tbilisi Reservoir. Zoo director Zurab Gurialidze and spokeswoman Zia Sharashidze said it would be much larger, 47 acres, compared to the old one, which has 9 acres of space. They said the foreign zoo experts at the new site approve. It cost about $50 to $60 million to build. They chose a blueprint designed by an Irish company. Zoo director Gurialidze said it is not yet clear how the new zoo will be financed, but they are working with the government to find financing. There's still a lot of cleanup to do at the old zoo, and it will likely only reopen in September. The Kartu Fund will allocate 8 million lari in aid for the victims of the 13th of June flood. Vice Mayor of Tbilisi was speaking about the aid they've received, then gave a special thanks to Kartu Charity Fund and its founder for donating the additional $8 million. Georgia signed an intergovernmental agreement with the U.S. on tax compliance and mutual understanding, which encompasses implementation of the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, commonly known as FATCA. Under the agreement, Georgia must report information regarding U.S. account holders in Georgia to the U.S. Internal Revenue Service, or IRS, in order to eliminate cases of tax evasion. The agreement will establish a framework to assist Georgian financial institutions in reporting certain financial account information required by U.S. FATCA. Batumi City Council is considering a complaint lodged by the managers of a Muslim boarding house in Kobuleti. The house staff say they are facing pressures from local Orthodox residents who are trying to stop their work and that the staff receive personal threats to make them leave. On the 14th of July, 5 people were killed and at least 7 others injured in a blast in a 9-story apartment building in Guldani, a Tbilisi suburb. It is suspected that the blast was caused by a gas leak. On the night of the 23rd and 24th of June, 2 Spanish tourists were attacked while camping near Zudidi. They said that some locals knew they were camping there, and in the middle of the night, someone was throwing stones at the tent, which ripped the tent and the two campers were getting pelted themselves. They were taken to Zudidi Hospital, where they were told they were fine. They went to police, but said the police were hostile and that the police altered their account, and then They were denied a copy of their own statement. When they went to the clinic in Tbilisi afterwards, it turned out one man had fractured limbs. The report from the Ministry of Internal Affairs is that there was no file recorded under the classification of attack for the case. After the story was reported, the Ministry of Internal Affairs said that they're investigating. Batumi launched a two-month summer campaign called Heat Batumi, advertising how much fun is going on down there in the town for the summer. Like, for example, painted public pianos. The local government is spending 3.4 million lari on the project. The rest of the campaign is from donors. There will be 200 events hosting over 200 foreign artists split into 11 thematic weeks. A new Cube Tower Hotel will be built in Batumi with Azerbaijani investment. It's a series of cubes stacked on each other, misaligned, 30 stories, 180 rooms, and will presumably be another noticeable landmark in the Batumi skyline. According to the director of the company, Adog Georgia, which is supervising the hotel construction, work should start in the next 2 weeks. At least $40 million will be invested in the project. It's scheduled to be completed in 2017. Adog Georgia was founded in Batumi in 2011. Its head office is located in Baku. The company says it purchased the land in 2011 for one lari under the agreement to build a hotel complex. There'll be a new lemonade brand in Georgia under the brand name Giuliani that will be available by the end of July. 10 million lari was invested in the new lemonade factory located in Nakhchivan, which is in the Mtskheta region, employs IDPs. It opened within the government-led Produce in Georgia scheme. The investor is mentioned as a Georgian businessman who works abroad. In parliamentary news, on the 10th of July, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili announced that Parliament will not finalize the adoption of the bill removing the banking supervisory functions from the National Bank until a mutual understanding is reached with international financial institutions. Wow, that's good news. As a reminder, the IMF, EBRD, Asian Development Bank, and the World Bank wrote a joint letter to the Prime Minister and Parliamentary Speaker calling on keeping the responsibility of banking supervision inside the National Bank. On the 15th of July, President Mark Balashvili signed into law a bill on decoupling the security and intelligence agencies from the Interior Ministry. He previously suggested numerous times that he would veto the bill if it was passed by Parliament. The President's advisor for human rights and legal affairs commented that the President believes that this law is the beginning but not a sufficient step and that the reform should continue in the nearest future in a well-thought-out manner. NGOs are a little bit nervous that these two different investigative groups could become a problem. The law will go into force after it's published on the state online registry of legal acts. Within 5 days after the law goes into force, Prime Minister Ghadabashvili will have to name the head of the state security service after receiving the endorsement of the cabinet members. The candidate has to be formally nominated for confirmation in Parliament, which will have 2 weeks to consider the nomination. At a parliamentary session on the 15th of July, Vice Speaker of Parliament and Georgian Dream lawmaker Gubaz Sanikidze said that the Iran nuclear deal is very significant for Georgia and called on the foreign ministry to intensify relations with Iran. He said that Iran may turn into a stabilizing factor in the Middle East. Georgia has a chance to play an important role in relations between Iran and the West. The agreement may also play a positive role for Georgia in terms of security, so we should pay more attention to developments in the South. Journalists noted that this is the first time ever in Georgian history that Gubaz Sanikidze and I have agreed. The meme this week is a picture going around Facebook of a letter of invitation to the mayor of Moscow from Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania inviting him to the European Youth Olympic Festival. The New Summer Must Read, Kvachi, by Mikhail Javakhashvili, translated by the Kartvelophile, beautiful writer and well-known British genius and all-around cool guy, Donald Rayfield. Couple of points about it. One, like a lot of Javakhashvili, and unlike most Georgian literature, it has no inhibitions about showing the negative side of Georgian character. I'm quoting here, spending other people's money, conning women, changing sides politically, loving a good time regardless of the consequences. Two, by translating the 1925 version rather than the official 1934 censored version, which an idiotic publisher reprinted in 2011, we get a racy, pornographic side of Kvachi, the seducer, satyr, and borderline rapist, and Javakashvili's adoration of France, all cut from the 1934 version. 3. Javakashvili knew a lot that historians have forgotten about Rasputin, about the disgraceful failure of the First Georgian Republic to put up any resistance to the Bolsheviks. So it's entertainment, shock, and instructive too. William Boyd, well-known British novelist and screenwriter, loved it. Here's the Amazon blurb. Quote, "This is, in brief, the story of a swindler, a Georgian Felix Krull, or perhaps a cynical Don Quixote, named Kvachi Kvachatiradze, a womanizer, cheat, perpetrator of insurance fraud, bank robber, associate of Rasputin, filmmaker, revolutionary, and pimp. Though originally denounced as pornographic, Kvachi's tale is one of the great classics of 20th century Georgian literature and a hilarious romp to boot. This is the beach read of 2015. Buy it immediately. The Guardian listed it as one of its best holiday reads of 2015. Onik Krikorian argues that IWPR, that the Georgian government basically isn't doing anything to counter radicalism in the Pankizi Gorge, and cites examples of what Tajikistan is doing now and how that can work in Georgia too. He's right, and there are some interesting examples. New interactive visual from Jumpstart Georgia that allows you to calculate, can you afford to buy a flat in Georgia? Marcin Mamon for The Intercept travels to the Pankizi Gorge and talks with mothers of son. Whose sons have left for jihad in Syria. The magazine World Interiors has a quick look at the romantic atmosphere of Purpur Restaurant. Anna Nemtsova looks at the tough job Misha has cut out for him in Odessa for foreign policy. Basically, Misha wasn't elected there, and people poke fun at him. There's a lot of Russian sentiment, and there's a lot of powerful people in town who are more powerful than he is. This week's CRC blog looks at how Georgians spend their leisure time. Tumblr blog called Sololaki on architecture and design in Tbilisi and featuring Soviet Georgian book covers from the 1960s. The previous name of this incredibly beautiful blog was the just as awesome name Zveli Sabartalo. Check it out. It really is good looking. Agenda.ge features Georgian aircraft designer Alexander Kartveli, who designed the P-47 Thunderbolt aircraft used by the U.S., one of the great aircraft designers ever anywhere. All those things to read are posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 20.8%. This is the drop in volume in money transfers from abroad, otherwise known as remittances, to Georgia in June 2015 compared to June 2014, according to the National Bank. There's a Kickstarter campaign by the organization Playwright, Playwrite, that works with troubled youth to express themselves through acting and storytelling, and with the help of a coach. This project focuses on bringing their program to Georgia, and they want to bring a group of women activists that are working with youth at risk in Georgia, bringing these women to Oregon, where they will participate in a workshop learning the Playwright method and bring this project to Georgia. Check it out and give whatever you can. This is a very cool and worthwhile project. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. That is Tango X-ray, Tango Bravo, Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And keeping in mind the Russian army and those who live near South Ossetia, we will finish with, from 2000, this is Shelby Lynn and Life is Bad.
over the mark. Line of pool of consciousness, no such thing.
That life is bad. You gotta keep moving. You gotta keep going. It's not gonna change. You gotta change it. If you don't change it, nobody will.